This is a Christian Science prayer treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, mbeinstitute.org. The topic of this prayer treatment is 1-7, body and all its parts. The 1-7 refers to the 7 days of creation as referred to in the first chapter of Genesis through chapter 2, verse 3. Also, the definition of God by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer, founder, and leader of Christian Science, and the author of the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. And it describes the definition of God on page 465 and 587. And it describes the spiritual sense of the first chapter up through verse 3 of chapter 2 of Genesis in chapter 15 of the textbook, which is the part of it that is entitled Key to the Scriptures, and it begins on page 500. It also refers to the Ten Commandments and the Sermon on the Mount, which includes the Beatitudes and the Lord's Prayer. So basically, all of these things have 7 key points. And those 7 key points are all coordinated with the order of the spiritual record of creation in Genesis, and also the definition of God as specified on page 465. So there is a divine providence in all of these things that tie them together very neatly and completely and conclusively. There are 3 introductory quotes to the textbook, and they're right after the title pages, so they are intended very much for us to be focusing on those no matter what we're studying, if we're pursuing an advanced understanding of Christian Science over and above where we are at the moment. So any improvement in our understanding of God and man, the relationship between God, which includes his manifestation, which is man, which is you and me and everyone else, if that is our pursuit, then it behooves us to look at those 3 quotes before we begin the study. The first one says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's a quote from Jesus, as quoted by John. The second quote is from Shakespeare. "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." And the third one is by Mary Baker Eddy herself, and it says, "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere." So if we contemplate all 3 of these quotes, it's clear that, number one, we always want to keep our thought open. Like Einstein advises, he says, "Curiosity has its own reason for existing. Never stop questioning." And he's referring to in the pursuit of truth. Shakespeare tells us, whatever we put into our consciousness, that is going to have a direct impact on our experience. And Mary Baker Eddy says that she, like Jesus, was at one with God. Jesus said he was at one with God, but he also said very specifically he was not God. For when a Pharisee asked him, said, "Dear Master, how can I obtain eternal life?" And Jesus' response said the following, "Why call thou me good? There is none good but God." And then he answered the question how to obtain eternal life. And it obviously was not what the Pharisee wanted, for he was considered very wealthy, had anything money could buy, but he wanted something more. He wanted eternal life. But he wasn't willing to do what it took, which was, according to Jesus' recommendation to him, was to sell everything he had, give it to the poor, and then follow Jesus. And of course, we can follow Jesus, We can follow Mary Baker Eddy. We can follow evil. It is an individual choice, as Shakespeare says. Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. What kind of thinking do we want? Do we want to reflect the intelligence of God? Because God is defined as follows. Incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. And on page 587, it's a little different, emphasizing a few different words, but the seven synonymous terms, of course, remain the same. She says, God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving and eternal, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all-substance, intelligence. And on the same page, she defines good, G-O-O-D, God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. So there you have it. If you look at all three of those definitions of God, there is no way for any inkling of an evil to be prying its way into the body of God. My body, your body, everyone's body. Because our focus is not on a shortage. Our focus is on the abundance of good. And when we see the abundance of good, then we can share it without fear of going without. An individual went to see God. He was out of everything. He was out of food, shelter, and clothing. A job. He didn't have anything to look forward to in his present viewpoint. And yet he had everything. Because everything is within us. All the qualities of God are within us, and all we have to do is peel back the onion and see that it's there and use that with the power that comes with it and apply it to any particular situation that is trying to give difficulty to God's innocent child. That's you and me. Let's take a look at each of those seven synonymous terms. First of all, let's look at the four words that are preceding the seven. Incorporeal. That means there is no material body. It doesn't say there's no body. It says there's no body that is corporeal. Body is just a term that can be applied to our whole existence. Everything in our thought, speech, and action is our body. Body is like a container of our consciousness. And of course, we want to be reflecting the infinity of the consciousness of God, and we can do that on a step-by-step basis. There's no end to the striving because God is infinite. Mind, which is the mind of God, is infinite. Truth, same thing, principle, life, truth, love. If one is going to work on improving their spiritual dimension, if they do that consistently and in accordance with the system that Mary Baker Eddy discovered, healing will automatically be the product. But the more we think about healing, the less we will improve spiritually. Because then we're focusing on the problem instead of the solution. If we really focus on the solution, which is improving our spiritual understanding, then the product of that automatically follows. But we can't be thinking about the product. We got to be thinking about how and what do we need to do and do it to be on the path of infinite progression, which is leading to concrete being. That must be our focus. And that's why the consciousness is so important. because we have to follow what Shakespeare says, and we have to realize that our thinking is going to be our experience. So if we want our experience to be spiritual, we have to be focusing on a spiritual motive with all thought, speech, and action. Mary Baker Eddy tells us that everything has been reduced to a system. And what's the advantage of that? You, me, or anyone else that understands the system and follows it will have the same result, which is healing. But it has to be a structure that is of spirit and a system that is of the one infinite, omni-intelligent, omni-wise, omni-knowing mind. And then we'll have the power of God behind it, which is omnipotent. Because omnipotence comes with all the qualities of God. This is what Mary Baker Eddy says about the system on page 146 of the textbook. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. The system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. What is disease? A dis-ease, any discord, any conflict, any chaos, anything that is not absolutely harmonious and balanced and spiritual and godlike. One little drop that is different than what God is means that it is not godlike. Not one little scoshy bit. One little pin drop can't be in there. It's either godlike or it's not godlike. If it's perfect and spiritual and harmonious, benefits everyone concerned, then it's godlike. The structure is principle, and it's of the components of spirit, because spirit is the only substance. Spirit is flawless, transparent, and therefore reflective. But a body that is of the substance of matter is opaque and disappears. That kind of a body is going to have elations and devastation. It's going to have smoothness and then chaos. Nothing is going to be consistent about a life based on the belief that matter is substance, that there is life, truth, and intelligence in matter. There is no life, truth, or intelligence in matter whatsoever. Why? Because all is infinite mind. Mind is the intelligence, wisdom, and knowing. Mind is the action. Mind is all faculty, facility, functionality. As was mentioned, spirit is the only substance. And it's harmonious. It's flawless. It's transparent, it's so flawless. And what is soul? Soul is the five spiritual senses. What are those five spiritual senses? What is the difference between material and spiritual? What is the purpose of the five senses? Well, what do we use our eyes, ears, sense of feeling, smell, and taste for? Identification. And what would be the difference between a material identification and a spiritual? How about the difference between flawed and a misrepresentation, a mis mistaken view and reality. That's the difference. We all know what material sight is. It's dependent upon so-called material organs. They can go bad from beginning. Look at the one that Jesus healed. He was blind from birth. Could spiritual vision be blind? Remember, spirit is flawless. It can't be blind. How about hearing? Has anyone ever been healed of being deaf or dumb? Yes, everything that has ever been a problem has been healed through the system of divine metaphysics, through Christian Science, through the sincere study of wanting to get a better understanding of God, which includes His manifestation, which is man. It tells us that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. It's in the sixth day of creation. It says, let us make man after our image and after our likeness. And then in verse 27, it says, and so God made man in His image and after His likeness. I like to look at that as being a two-step process. 26 being where it says, and let us. One way to look at it is that we have to open consciousness. On several occasions when Jesus was involved in healing, He said, do you have faith that you can be healed? He wanted to make sure that they had a receptive thought. He went to Galilee in His early ministry. He had a terrible result. They thought of Him as a boy or as a carpenter. They didn't think of Him as a divine idea. They didn't think of Him having a special mission that was to fulfill understanding that there's no life, truth, and intelligence in matter, but it's all in mind. They weren't prepared for His resurrection, whereby He overcame the belief of being killed, murder, having a dead body, and then bringing it back to life. And they certainly weren't prepared for Him to ascend above entire belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter. So He left. He didn't say goodbye to very many people because they weren't ready. The only reason He was crucified is because the Jews were afraid that their civilization would end because He said you should neither marry nor give in marriage. They thought, well, if we can't have a sexual relationship to propagate our civilization, we're going to disappear. The churches don't teach that, but that's what He says. Neither marry nor give in marriage. In other words, life should not be dependent on the belief of a sexual relationship. Life is from God. That kind of life from God is eternal. But one based on a sensual relationship is obviously doesn't last very long and obviously not what real life is about. They all end. They end as far as the eye can testify to. So here is how Mary Baker Eddy defines the five spiritual senses. Seeing is spiritual discernment. Discernment means telling the difference between one thing and another. Do we have the spiritual discernment to be able to tell the difference between spirit and matter? Between what is real and what's unreal? And we can't be tricked, because evil lives on trickery, deceit, decoys, dishonesty, anything at all that it can do to try to make us believe that it is the truth, and then it'll stick its knife in our back. That doesn't feel very good. I haven't had one, but I don't think it would feel very good. What is hearing? Spiritual understanding. Were you aware that hearing meant understanding? Few people know that. How about feeling? Divine consciousness. What is consciousness? That is motive. An action based on motive. And thought and speech based on motive. Is our motive pure? Is our motive the motive that Jesus had and Mary Baker Eddy and other really advanced students of Christian Science? The next one is smell. And that is intuition of character. It's like we can smell a bad piece of food. Animals have a very easy way of telling if food isn't good by their smell. People have a more difficult time. But it usually is something that can be sensed. And the last one is taste. Relish of truth. Relish of truth. It's like the icing on the cake, if you like icing. Whatever your most delicious taste is, that's what this is. Relish of truth. Truth is what we're looking for, and taste is the final test. If it passes the seeing, hearing, feeling, and smelling, then we're ready to take a taste. A lot of people can't wait to go through the test of the other four, and they end up making a large mistake. Huge mistake. People that go bankrupt, they left out one or more, and maybe all of the qualities that are needed to test an idea before they do it. Barging forward on an impromptu basis is not the formula for success. The formula for success is being a genius. What is a genius? The Mary Baker Eddy Institute defines a genius as someone who has an idea about a wholesome project, an endeavor of any kind whatsoever, as long as it has a spiritual motive that it will benefit everyone concerned, that those who are working on the project and also those who will benefit from the results of the project being successful. And then what is the most important thing that makes almost every project fail? And this is where the genius comes in. A genius does not quit. It does not give up. It does not give in. It does not allow itself to be misled. It is in there until the project is complete. And that is the genius. We all have the capability, because all capability comes from infinite divine mind, not from brain. Mary Baker Eddy tells us that the body is not made up of brain, blood, bones, and other material elements. Nothing is. Mind is not. Spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, or love. None of them are made up of material elements. It's a clear-cut choice when you're trying to make a decision on whether you want to go with God, which is permanent, which is never flawed, which is always filled with joy. It's always balanced. It's always harmonious. Never a mistake. Or you want to go with the opposite, which is all of those things. Flawed, filled with mistakes, not joyful, erratic. It's a very simple thing to recognize the difference. And the thing that is not so simple is whether or not we have the intestinal fortitude to follow through. Do we? It's within consciousness. Are we going to peel back the onion so we can see the core is filled with spirit and not matter? That every incentive we can possibly have, if we want to advance spiritually, is based on striving for the understanding that there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. That all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation for God, not matter, not brain, blood, bones, and other material instruments, but God is all in all. And spirit is immortal truth, whereas matter is mortal error, mistake. All is the real and eternal. Spirit is real and eternal. Matter is unreal and therefore what? Temporal. Spirit is God. And we are His image and likeness. Remember what it said in Genesis, verses 26 and 27 of chapter 1. We are made in the image and likeness of God. Therefore, we are not material. What are we? We're the individual manifestation of God, which is spirit. Therefore, we are spiritual, not material. We are perfect and balanced because we reflect the perfection and the balance of God. We are intelligent. We are wise. We are knowing. We are in control of every action. In the degree to which we reflect the action of the omni-action of God. And the same with all of God's qualities. They are ours to utilize as long as we realize that we are reflecting them from the one and only source, which is God. It's either the function of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, or love. It has to be one of those seven, because those seven cover everything possible. What is principle? We talked about mind, spirit, and soul. Principle is the structure. Structure based on spirit. Not being on the beach, where one is based on sand, where a wave can come along and level it. No. We're talking about being away from the beach, up higher than the water, maybe on a big rock mountain or hill, where we can't be touched by a wave coming in and going out. So we have the facility to identify properly with the function of soul, and we have a structure that is made of spirit, which means it's eternal. It's not something that has a life and death. It is something that has only life, because life is dynamic. And that's the next synonymous term for God, is life. Life is living the qualities of God. Life is understanding that God is the only life, and that life is perfect, it's eternal, it is omnipresent. Therefore, can we suffer anything that could injure our life or kill it? How could we? As we get a more and more clear understanding of what God is and the connection between God, which includes its manifestation, which is you and me and everyone else, then it's easy to understand that nothing coming from God can be flawed. Nothing. But we need to use our function of soul to make sure that we're not focusing on something that is not from God. Because there are suggestions that are floating in the atmosphere of thought that we have to eradicate for the benefit of everyone. Is being lazy a function of life or a function of death? How about procrastinating? We recommend if someone wants to be a genius, and anybody can, all you have to do is have the integrity of your purpose and understand through declaring to yourself until it's more and more clear that there's nothing that can separate you from the one and only mind, the mind of God. And the mind of God enables you to recognize who you are. It enables you to see the spiritual senses with the power of mind. It enables you to utilize the perception of spiritual sight to be able to properly hear, smell, feel, and taste. It enables you to experience spiritual life. The power of mind enables you to see what is truth and what is a mistake. And that's what truth is. Number 6 of the 7. Truth. So we have mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, and truth. Truth is motive. What is our purpose in anything that we do? Anything we think, anything we say. Is it pure? Is it absolutely pure? If it's absolutely pure, our result will be pure. If there's any flaw in it at all, our result will not be godlike. It will have flaws in it. It will not be something that we want. If we're pursuing a path of truth, if we're pursuing a path of God-likeness, if we are reflecting God enough that we are on the path of infinite progression, striving for concrete being. That's the only kind of consciousness we should have, one of infinite progression. Not one step up and one back, or two steps up and one back, or three steps up and three back, or four steps up and eight back. Then we're really in trouble. We're four in the hole. We want to have what Isaiah tells us about. And Mary Baker Eddy repeats this and quotes it. In fact, she quotes it in chapter 14, as the introduction. Chapter 14 is a summary of chapter 1 to 13, and it's the last chapter of Science and Health. And then the next section is called Key to the Scriptures, and that's chapter 15 through 18, and it begins at page 500. So, that chapter of recapitulation, Mary Baker Eddy wrote that as one of her first publications. It was called The Science of Man. And she updated that and included it as a summary of the first 13 chapters. So God gave that to her in the beginning. And she kept it. And just did a few changes to it and entitled it Recapitulation. Which means recap. It's a recap of chapters 1 to 13. And it's in a beautiful format of 24 questions and answers. So you can stay focused on the 24 topics therein. Begins on page 465. And it goes through 499. One of the most important chapters in the book. They each have their own unique importance. But that being a summary of 13 chapters brings extra importance to it. Well, we talked about truth, knowing the difference between right and wrong, between error and truth. Having a pure motive brings forth a pure result. It's like a railroad track that a train cannot skip. It can't get off the track. Imagine the wheel assembly is attached permanently to a moving part that runs along the track, and it cannot go up and it can't go left or right. That is outside of the design of the track. And the engine has enough power to take it wherever it needs to go. Then we have an ideal situation. And that's exactly what mind does. It enables us to stay on track. And truth tells us if we are on track. In fact, truth is the healer. Of all the seven terms, truth is it. That's the healer. But to make it work, we have to use the power of mind. We have to think. We have to utilize the tools that we're given to realize what the definition of God is. And we have to live it. I read you the introductory paragraph about the system of divine metaphysics. And what does page 330 tell us about the system of divine metaphysics? It gets down to the meat. And it says the following. 32 planks to the platform of the system of divine metaphysics. When the 32 planks of the platform is understood, and the letter and the spirit bear witness, the infallibility of divine metaphysics will be demonstrated. Now that's on page 330. So she goes all the way from page 146, where the first introductory quote was, to page 330, before she gives us the meat in summary form. So now we have 32 topics. Recapitulation chapter gave us 24 topics. And the system of divine metaphysics gives us 32 topics that we need to learn and live. And notice it says in both the letter and the spirit. The letter is learning what the words say, but the spirit, that's where the catch is. We have to have the loving atmosphere in everything we think, say, and do. That's the spirit. That's the spirit. That's the spirit that if that Pharisee would have followed Jesus' advice, he would have sold everything he had and given it to the poor and followed Jesus. But no, he had too much of an ego problem, as does almost every human. And unfortunately, it's a motive of survival instead of faith and trust. It's one of fear and lack. Which one should we have as our motive? We need to reverse engineer. What do we want as the result? If one designs a plan for any worthwhile project, it behooves one to look at the desired result and then determine the rest of the plan that will get one there if they're properly evaluating everything. And if not, then they just need to make adjustments as they move along. And almost any plan is going to require adjustments. Mary Baker Eddy made 432 changes to science and health. And it was dictated to her by God. And when she saw something that needed to be changed, she would go to God. And she would wait on the answer. She says one time she had to wait 6 months to get the right word to use. That means her thought wasn't ready for it. And when it was ready, it was probably delivered instantaneously. How Frederick L. Rawson overcame the belief of time is explained by him and quoted on the website. As new thoughts are revealed, we change the design of the website. We're constantly upgrading it. But presently, if you go to the author menu and click on R and then Rawson, there are a row of links at the top of the page. And one of them says, Treating Back in Time. So that's the one you should click if you would like to read about how he overcame the belief of time and could actually have the healing effective when it was first discovered to be a problem. I believe that was mentioned earlier in this recording as well. 2 points from what he tells us we can use all the time. For example, before we begin any kind of communication with the laws of God, we could state everything is possible to God because God is all-knowing. God is also omni-intelligence and omni-wisdom. So we can be open to the intelligence and wisdom from God if we will only set aside self-will and open the door. Open the door of our own consciousness to the Christ consciousness, the consciousness of truth. I believe it was mentioned earlier in this recording about Genesis 1, verse 26, having two potential explanations or interpretations. One is what Mary Baker Eddy gives us in chapter 15, which is the chapter entitled Genesis in the Key to the Scriptures, wherein she states where it says, Let us make man in God's image and likeness, that she says the us is life, truth, and love. And the other one was that let us means that we have to open our thought, in other words, our door of consciousness, to let the truth guide us wherein we are demonstrating being the reflection of God, being the image and likeness of God. So, looking at the first one about life, truth, and love, I know I did not explain. Here is one view of why she may have chosen life, truth, and love as being the us. The symbol for life is father. The symbol for love is mother. And the symbol for truth is son. We've heard the phrase, like father, like son. And probably heard the phrase, like mother, like daughter. In other words, the human life of the parents are considered to have an influence on the human life of the children. And it's all based on the belief that there is a birth. However, one of the evils that we should strive constantly to overcome by exposing it as being a material-based view of birth instead of the fact that there is nothing new under the sun, as it states in the Bible. That means truth has always been true, and anything that is new in our view is only a revelation of what was always true. Maybe a different symbol, but the underlying fact remains unchanged. When the Christ consciousness is the topic, it is not just the man Jesus that is referred to when he said, "I and my Father are one," but as one reflects any of the seven synonymous terms for God, then they are at one with God, because we are reflection. God is the nominon. We are the phenomenon. God is the source, and man, the reflection, is the manifestation. Both are required. We must make it clear to defer to God as our source. Then we can claim the perfection of God, and we can claim being at one with God. The nominon is the source. The phenomenon is the manifestation. We must remember there is only one family, because there is only one source. Therefore, if we criticize someone else, or even ourselves, we are criticizing the source which is being reflected, however imperfect it may be. In our imperfect, incorrect view, Jesus always saw the perfect reflection, and that enabled him to heal. Do we want to be able to heal? Then maybe we should consider doing what Mary Baker Eddy did. Every hour, make sure that we are only having within our thought perfect events, perfect individuals, perfect God, perfect man. Anything less, we are cheating ourselves, not someone else, because it's in our thought where it needs to be corrected. We never need to correct fact. We need to only correct viewpoint. When one begins a prayer treatment, it is constructive to state that everything is possible to God. What we're really saying is that our consciousness is capable of seeing the perfection that is already true. Therefore, nothing has to take place except a change of view. We should continuously strive to eliminate the limitation of human view. So whether it is a matter of overcoming the belief of a calculated odds, such as winning versus losing, then we want to indicate that everything is already done, as it states in Genesis, at the end in day 7. Everything was already made at the end of day 6, and it was very good. Therefore, God rested on day 7. And of course, resting is resting in action of knowing that it is already done. There's nothing left undone. Everything has always been done. Only our viewpoint needs to broaden to include more facts, more doneness, more isness, more perfection. And that applies to what we may be facing at the moment, which looks imperfect. We don't have to accept it as being imperfect. Jesus didn't accept imperfection. Mary Baker Eddy didn't accept imperfection. But are we practicing like Mary Baker Eddy did every hour? A pianist is not going to be able to have perfect performance if he doesn't practice perfect practicing. He must practice perfection until it is so foreign to be involved in something that's imperfect that he immediately rejects it. In other words, he continuously reminds his thought that he is only going to accept perfection. Nothing less. No dilution. No diversion. Strictly the truth. The topic of this prayer treatment includes all parts. The topic is body and all its parts defined. How are we going to define them? Are we going to say we have an outer skin and visible hair and nails on our hands and on our feet? Or are we going to think about the 7 synonymous terms for God and the 5 spiritual senses? Spiritual seeing, spiritual hearing, spiritual feeling, smelling, and taste. Utilizing the interpretation of those words that was already quoted, that is in the book called the Blue Book, which is quotations from Mary Baker Eddy, but they were unpublished by her, but they were things she had said to various people. Richard Oakes, which is the compiler of the Blue Book, and the Carpenters, the father and son, all three diligently worked to preserve statements by Mary Baker Eddy and publish them so that L could benefit from those unpublished writings. But we always want to make sure, as clearly as possible, to look at the situation surrounding the statements. If we don't know what came before and what came after the statement was made, then we're limiting the potential accuracy of our understanding of what was stated. We always want to strive for accuracy, As was quoted, Einstein says, curiosity has its own reason for existing. Never stop questioning. Let us review the last few pages of the book, Treatment or Healing by True Prayer, by Frederick L. Rawson. It is entitled, Capacities and Power of Man, Spiritually Understood. The text is as follows. Let it be quite understood that to heal well, it is not necessary to have this knowledge. But the greater the knowledge of the world of reality, and the more accurate the knowledge of its details, the easier it is to heal. In any case, this tends to greater activity of thought and a better elimination of thoughts of materiality. Quote, as material knowledge diminishes and spiritual understanding increases, real objects will be apprehended mentally instead of materially. Science and Health, page 96. As the material world is the exact opposite of the spiritual, the highest things in heaven are the realities of the lowest in the material world. The highest thing that a man can do in heaven is to group the ideas of God together into new combinations and pass them on to his fellow man. This appears materially, or in counterfeit, as food passing through the system. As there are two kinds of blood, the bright, clean arterial blood as it passes from the heart to the extremities, and the venal blood which comes back, bringing the impurities with it, so these are the counterfeits of two kinds of joy, the spiritual reality of the former being the joy that we receive when we are passed a beautiful idea, and the latter, the more unselfish joy that we receive as we pass it on to our fellow man. First, with regard to the human being, all the parts of the human head are the counterfeit of the spiritual capacity that man has, the capacity to know things, the Christ capacity, the actual doing or knowing, as distinguished from the capacity to know, is done with the spiritual reality of the parts of the body. This is evidenced in the material man. For instance, a man does not see with his material eyes or hear with his material ears. Sight and hearing are the result of vibration along the lines of the ether direct to the human mind. A man can see and hear just as well when his so-called mind has temporarily left the body. I was once asked to explain the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Treating for knowledge, I explained that it had to be taken spiritually, and among other things, stated that when Paul said in the third verse, the head of every man is Christ, he meant that Christ was man's capacity to know God. The following will now be more easily understood. What follows are a list of various parts of the body. It will not be recited here, but instead only the main titles will be recited, and any in between text from one section to another. It is highly recommended that one look at the section at the back of the book, and the title to this book is Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. Everything is well organized on the index page. It is suggested that you read thoroughly the last few pages under the title Capacities and Powers of Man Spiritually Understood. So here are just the primary topics and any explanatory text. Head or capacity. Body or powers. As an explanation under the topic of internal organs is stated the following. Every quality of God is reflected in the spiritual man and therefore counterfeited in the material man. They appear as internal organs. Then he lists the primary ones. Again, it is highly suggested that you read the text directly. The next main topic is a list of various animals, vegetation, and other items which are a part of Earth and what we see in daily life. That is the end of the book. Now we shall take a look randomly and provide one or more examples of how one may focus on a particular item that is listed and apply it to a need based on an ailment that may be of concern. Let's use the first two in the list under head or capacity as our first example. The first one listed is head, and it says capacity to know God, and the second one is brains, capacity to think. As we have stated, there are seven synonymous terms for God, and the first one in the order of development, according to Genesis 1, under day 1, is mind. That is also the first one in the definition of God from page 465, where it says that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. And the second definition on page 587 is that God is the great I Am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, eternal, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all-substance, intelligence. And the definition of good on the same page, God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. And the definition of man on page 591. The compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full representation of mind. And from Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created. And then it goes on to say, let there be light. So in the first day of creation, God gave us light. Enlightenment and light are qualities of mind. And verse 26, it says, and let us make man in God's image and likeness. And verse 27, so God made man in his image and likeness. And at the end it says, and God saw everything that he made, and it was very good. But before that it says, God gave dominion to man over all the earth. And then, day seven, God rested. If we connect the dots on everything that's been recited, and I realize that most everything was already recited earlier, but this is grouping it together for the purpose of seeing how to compose a prayer treatment that is related to head and brains, the capacity to know God and the capacity to think. One of the problems in the school system, and this isn't just now, but always, and that is that there seemed to be an absence of teaching people the most important thing that they could learn when they are attending school at any age. And that is the value of learning how to think. It seems like the education has been based on providing information and desiring the students to memorize or understand the information, as opposed to learning how to think once the information is obtained. It's easy in today's world to get information from the internet. Of course, one has to be careful to make sure that they're getting accurate information and not just something that is a biased opinion. And of course, that's what Wikipedia is filled with, unfortunately. So that is a very poor source to use for accurate information. So let's begin with the premise that we have obtained accurate information from whatever source. Benjamin Franklin was one of the founders of America and of the original Constitution. And he was known for being a man of wisdom. He utilized the T-chart method to make decisions. It would be a horizontal line at the top of a piece of paper and a vertical line down the center. And he would put all the advantages on the left and all the disadvantages on the right if he would make a certain decision. And then he could compare them. Now, of course, we have more advanced ways of doing it and ways utilizing particularly a computer, if not a cell phone. We can use what we call worksheets, or which is commonly called spreadsheets, which is merely a series of rows and columns. It's also easy to give weight to certain advantages and disadvantages. One could actually add up the numbers on the left column versus the right column. And if the score is about the same, then one would not want to make a decision because there would be no advantage over the disadvantages. And if it was a big difference of advantages, then it would be a yes. And if it's the other way, it would be a no. Do not proceed. But thinking of this more thoroughly and spiritually, thinking about the definitions that were recited and the quotations, and also think about a quotation from Isaiah, which is an introductory quote to chapter 14, which is recapitulation of the first 13 chapters. And the Isaiah quote reads, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. In other words, we need to take it one step at a time in our thinking to make sure that we are thorough. And we also want to use all five senses: seeing, hearing, feeling, smelling, and taste. And they've been read to you before from a spiritual translation of the words of Mary Baker Eddy. If it appears that we are faced with a difficult situation and need to make some important decisions, we can utilize the information that has been offered so far and put it together into a logical answer that is going to be based on spirit and not matter. We must leave entirely out of the equation anything that is biased, an opinion in any way, because we want to base our decision on facts. We don't want emotion to be involved, or anything that is a human tendency, which automatically veers away from truth and spirit. Spirit being the only true substance, which is flawless. We want to make sure we're dealing with a structure, which is principle. We want it to be balanced and harmonious. And we want the result to bring love, which is fulfillment, wholeness, completeness. We don't want any parts missing from what needs to be considered to make an intelligent, correct decision. The following example, which is recorded in the same method as the rest of this recording, which is extemporaneous, will be presented in the same way and in the same sequence as it comes to thought. We would begin with the suggestion of the two statements that were made previously, and that is that everything is possible to God, and God is perfect. Therefore, there is no flaw in anything that comes from God, because God is spirit, and spirit is flawless, and spirit is the only substance. So the substance of mind is spiritual. As we listen for what facts should be considered, they will come to us. They will be revealed. They will come naturally as angel messages. So let's begin with a structure, which is principle, and a system, which is from mind, because anything to do with mental is from mind. And let's say this is considered a business decision. Anything at all that is our business that we're dealing with. It doesn't have to be to do with a company or a job, but anything at all that concerns us. And you can fill in the blanks. But it's important. It's an important decision that we need to make. So we want to first of all recognize, in addition to what was already said about it being possible, and we know that it's possible because God is the one source of all intelligence. That's part of omniscience. Omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing. Now, if God is knowing, that means the answer is already determined. We may not have had it revealed to us at the very beginning, but we should be aware of what the Bible says about the end is at the beginning. And we also must remember what Habakkuk says about God is of purer eyes than to behold evil. So all of the qualities of God are going to be qualities of perfection and goodness, and it's not going to contain any evil or any decoy or deceit or any method at all that mortal mind may try to put into the equation to prevent the solution from being pure and correct. And we need to claim this. We need to make this statement that mind is our only source of intelligence. And there is no mortal mind, and therefore no mortal mind to suggest mistakes, or to suggest that information is missing, or to suggest that we look at it a different way that is less spiritual, one that includes flaws, one that includes incompleteness, or lack, or absence of anything that needs to be there. We need to know that there is no lack by stating it. We cannot be missing anything because God is love, and love is completeness and wholeness. And we're going to nurture every part of this decision to cover all seven of the synonymous terms of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. There is nothing that can give us incorrect identification information, because we are going to depend on the seeing, hearing, feeling, smell, and taste of spirit, not matter. And we refuse to accept that we have a birth, or we had a birth, that is based on matter. But our source is spirit, not matter. Therefore, there is no limitation to our capacity to reflect the infinite capacity of God. And that includes the intelligence of exactly what we need to have come to us as a result of our desire to be reflecting the goodness of God, the completeness of God, the intelligence of God, the identification capacity of God, the life that is in the decision, the life that is in the results, the life that will be the life that is benefited from relying on spirit instead of matter, relying on God instead of a human opinion for the result. Our capacity to see is not from a material organ, and our capacity to think is not from a human brain. Mind is the capacity of everything that is mental. And mind is infinite. Mary Baker Eddy states, infinite progression is concrete being. And there's nothing that can interfere with the progress of the law of God. Because we're going to rely upon precept upon precept, and line upon line, and here a little, there a little. We're going to benefit from the compound capacity of infinite good. And that infinite good will reveal to my consciousness, which is the consciousness of God, by reflecting truth, and there will not be any absence. There will not be any lack, because truth is fulfillment of love. Love provides the fulfillment of truth, so it is complete. Nothing is missing. I cannot be deceived by any suggestion of mortal mind having the power to deceive or to provide a decoy or to disparage my character or the character of anyone that is involved in the result of this decision. The communication from the intelligence of God as the only source to his idea man is perfect and complete and direct. The scientific statement of being is very useful. We can substitute whatever the problem is with the term matter, or we could add it, supplement it, For example, there is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in the belief of any absence or lack. And that includes the capacity to think and to listen for the decision from infinite mind, which is the source of all knowing, the source of my knowing. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. As an infinite divine manifestation of God, reflecting God's capacity to know, which is infinite, and for the wisdom of God to be my wisdom by reflection. My wisdom is the wisdom of God. My knowing is the knowing of God. My intelligence is the intelligence of God, which is flawless, because the only substance of mind is spirit. It is transparent. In other words, we can see in order to reflect the intelligence, wisdom, and knowing of God. Man is the manifestation of God, and I'm an individual manifestation of man, and therefore every one of God's qualities is a quality of mine as well. I practice life by reflecting God's qualities, the capacity to know that God is my life, and that every activity, including thinking about the problem at hand, is right here within. It is omnipresent. And the answer is omnipresent. And there's no time involved, because time is a false opinion. It is not a fact of truth. There is no time with God. Everything is instantaneous. Everything is concurrent. Everything is always in alignment. Nothing can be missing. God is all in all source, and all manifestation, because there is nothing but God. There is nothing but the goodness of God, the perfection of God. There cannot be any dilution, diversion, stoppage, or reversal of the flow of ideas about this particular topic to me without any lapse of time. For I am a reflection of God, and nothing can interfere with my perception to see that that is the truth. Nothing can interfere with my spiritual understanding, which is hearing the truth and feeling it, tasting it, smelling it, the intuition of character tells me whether the source is God or whether it is a decoy, whether it is truth or deceit. And I reject right at this moment any thought of deceit being real or being hidden. For the truth exposes everything unlike itself. And I can see, because it is obvious, because I am totally following truth as my guide. I am on the path of truth right here and right now, which is the only space and the only time There is no past, there is no future. Everything is omnipresent. That eliminates delay. It eliminates time. It means that I am connected always with my source of intelligence, wisdom, and knowing. My source of absolutely everything that is related to this situation. The solution is always complete before we even know there's a problem. Because there is no such thing as a problem, it is only a miscalculation of what is being viewed. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And the only thinking that is real is the already existent knowing, which eliminates the need to think, because the answer is already here. There is nothing but God. I know this to be true. And the answer is here. Amen. This prayer treatment will close by reciting the Diapason of Heaven, which is a prayer treatment by Mary Baker Eddy that she gave to her most advanced class in the Metaphysical College in the final class, which was in 1898. And thereupon, she pursued and promoted her writings to replace the physical attendance to a college for each one to develop their own salvation at their own speed, based on their own degree of dedication to desire for spiritual advancement. One last thing before the prayer. And that is, if you have any question whatsoever about anything in this recording or any other one, anything on the website, anything from the Bible, or any of Mrs. Eddy's writings, or any other thing on the website, any author, any topic, please contact us. If you look on the contact page, which is in the menu, in the bottom area, or in the footer. The first item on the left has a picture of an individual's head, that is contact. That's an icon for contact. Click it, and it will tell you how to communicate with us. And remember that Mary Baker Eddy reminded herself on an hourly basis to make sure that she was thinking only perfection about everything and everyone. And she did not give any credence to evil in any form, but denied that it had any power because it was unreal and it was not from God. And therefore, she was free to focus on the truth continuously. Here is the prayer, Diapason of Heaven, with a focus on mind, by Mary Baker Eddy. She begins with a quotation from Miscellaneous Writings, page 206. The real Christian Scientist is constantly accentuating harmony in word and deed, mentally and orally, perpetually repeating this Diapason of Heaven. Good is my God, and my God is good. Love is my God, and my God is love. We can declare often, divine mind is my mind, and my mind is God. God is my mind, and my mind is good. I have an intelligent mind, a good mind, a wise, perceptive, discerning mind, a clear mind, a joyous, happy mind. Mind is God, all acting, all wise, all loving, all knowing, all seeing. Divine mind is enthroned in my consciousness. Mortal mind and matter and personal sense are not enthroned. Ignorance and apathy and materiality are not enthroned in my consciousness. Good is my mind, and my mind is good. Mind is my God, and my mind is good. Divine mind is enthroned. This is the Word of God. She makes this closing statement. We have to change the subjective thinking we have of these seven names from personal sense to spiritual sense, and see ourselves and others as spiritual individualities, not personalities. This way is the only way. It is the way the Bible characters walked with God and ascended. Amen. It is Sunday, May 17, 2026 at 0807. This is the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, website mbeinstitute.org. Thank you for listening. The end.